morning. It's good to be with you all today. Today we are going to be reading from the book of Psalms. We'll be in chapter 104, verses 109. If you have a Bible in front of you and you'd like to follow along, this is found on page 502 in the Pew Bibles. Once again, we'll be reading from Psalm 104, verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord today. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He sets the earth on its foundations, so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose. The valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be with you here this morning. If you and I haven't had the chance to personally meet, I am trying to get around and meet everybody, but if I haven't had a chance to personally meet you, my name is Pastor Forrest, or Pastor Wilson, or hey you. I will respond to any of those. So, where is she at? There she is. Okay. I wasn't expecting this, or I would have told you, but my daughter is here this morning. So, that's Autumn right there. So, just to let you know. And there's a lot of pressure on this morning. I mean, a couple of people are here this morning as guests or whatever, and then my daughter's here. So I'm like, you know, it's going to be nerve-wracking. So I am really, truly excited to share with you this morning what God has laid on my heart. And what I'm hoping to do here is produce the sequel to the seed that God has planted in my soil. And that's going to come up again as we go through the sermon, but just want to let you know. And really where I'm going with that is that over this past week, I've been working through this passage, and the Lord has laid on my heart something and beat me up a little bit with it too, which was probably appropriate, something that I needed to hear. And my heart felt motivation this morning is to share with you some of that this morning as well. So there's a big difference between for you and through you. There is a big difference, huge. There's a big difference of for you and through you. Let's just say this next week I knock on your door and I come to the door and I have a big chocolate cake. Beautiful, beautiful chocolate cake, and I give it to you. I open the door, you open the door, and there you go. If the chocolate cake is for you, here's what you're going to do. Go into the kitchen, cut off a piece, eat it. Cut off another piece, eat that piece. Then you're going to put some saran wrap over it, put it in the fridge, and maybe the next day you'll eat another piece, and it's for you. But if I gave it to you and it's through you, it's completely different. The idea then is you go into your kitchen and you cut that cake up into a bunch of pieces and put them on a bunch of different plates and put some saran wrap over all each of them, and you hop in the car and you take that cake and you give it to your friends and your family. There's a humongous difference between for you and through you. And the problem is that we sometimes get that mixed up. God works in our lives and he does things, and we kind of get sometimes the idea that it's for us. And as we're going to talk about here this morning, all along, God's plan is through us. And there's three specific areas that we're going to keep talking about as the morning goes. And that's the one of the areas is time. So this is something that a lot of us struggle with. Many of us struggle with this. If you, over this next week, you were to have an unexpected afternoon off, appointment got canceled or something. And so what most of us do is we think about that and we're like, man, what am I going to do with this free time? A few of us, some of us think, what does God want me to do that he has cleared my whole schedule? But most of us don't do that. Or treasure. Let's say you go to the mailbox and you know the IRS sends you a check like, hey, you overpaid your taxes, here's a bunch of money. Most of us are like, who's got the best sales right now? How can I spend this? Some of us are like, who's the Lord going to bring in my path who needs money right now? Or talent. This one's mine, which you'll hear about. We might uncover a gift or a skill or something that you find out you're good at, and so instantly we're like, how can I use this to make my life easier or more comfortable? Instead of, some of us might be thinking, how do I use this in some way to expend all of my energy and all of my momentum on serving God with this new skill? We tend to struggle with that. We tend to struggle with misunderstanding of what God gives us that's not for us, but through us, and we mix that up. This morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at day three of creation. And we're going to see in day three of creation that God's methodology, the way that God acts, is he always acts, not always, he often acts because he wants to work through us. He very seldom does things that are actually just for us. So turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis, first book in the Bible, first book in your Bible, Genesis. And like I said, today we're going to look at day three of creation. But on day three of creation, God represents to all of us, everybody that's reading, he represents to them through day three of creation, his methodology of working through us, not for us. And this is an important part about who God is, and it's so important that he reissues that again on day five and day six. And as you read through the text of Scripture, all the way to Revelation, you see God continually works through people, and he very seldom works just for them. We're going to be today in Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. And the whole point this morning is I want to explain to you what throughness is. What is throughness? What is God's throughness? God prepares the soil. God prepares the soil. God provides the seed. And God produces the sequel. And the challenge at the end is give them back the cake. We're coming to that. If you're the big idea, that's kind of the direction where we're headed. I need to let you know, if you haven't been here the first two times that I preached, one of the things that is going to happen is there's going to be I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to challenge you to respond to the message at the end. So I'm just giving you a forewarning that I'm going to ask you to do that. You don't have to do it. It's your choice. But I'm going to ask you to physically respond to the sermon. So just to give you a little bit of a heads up, that's where we're headed. First thing we see is that God's throughness is God prepares the soil. Look with me at verse 9. We're going to read through 9 and 10. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land, and the waters seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 9 begins this, then God said. Every time, throughout the whole 7 days of creation, anytime God says something, that's a preemptive. He's like letting you know God's about to do something. He's going to do something miraculous, or he's going to create something. And that's the case here. And this is what he does. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky. Now, on day two, the waters were separated. That was the act of creation, the miraculous act that God did at that time. He separated the water from up above and below. So this verse is just clarifying the water that he's talking about here is not the waters above, it's the waters below. And God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place to accumulate, to gather together, so that dry ground may appear. Let the waters flow together into one place. That's God is demonstrating his supremacy here. He's demonstrating his supremacy. And it's difficult for us to sometimes understand the magnitude of what God is doing here. The Pacific Ocean is 63 million square miles big. It's just one of the oceans. It's the biggest one. It's just one. There's 63 million miles of water. And what this passage is saying is that God speaks the word, and that plus all the other oceans move. It's an effortless thing. God is demonstrating his supremacy by moving the water around. He's moving around like it's water on a countertop. There's no stress. There's no difficulty there for him. And not only does he move the water around, then he makes something appear. And God, so dry ground may appear. God then moves the water aside and mountains are formed and continents appear across the whole planet. Now, what's going on before this is this sphere that's been in the air. It's a formless and void, and now God is forming it. But he's demonstrating here right off the bat, he is supreme. He gives the command, the mountains are formed, and the oceans move. And he goes on to say this, and God called the dry ground land, and the waters seas. Another example where God is showing his supremacy. He's naming stuff. He's naming the two things that he's formed, the ground and the seas. He's giving them names, showing that I am God. I am supreme. And God saw that it was good. Again, another act of supremacy. God is evaluating his own work. He's demonstrating that he is supreme. Now, it's hard to grasp a little bit to understand, how does that have to do with throughness? What does that have to do with throughness? Because it seems a little disconnected. But it's actually really important that we understand that God is the one who does the work. Because if we don't understand that God is the one who is using the throughness, we'll never get to the point of understanding what throughness is. Let's go back to that chocolate cake. And you have that chocolate cake, and let's say I brought it over to your house, and you put it on a little platter, and you put that glass globe over it, and you put it in your window. And by doing that, you're not saying it, but the people who walk by your window are going to say, hey, that person just made that chocolate cake. You're implying, you're not stating it, but you're implying that that's yours. And so you're never going to look at whether that chocolate cake was intended to be for you or through you, because you're so busy getting credit for the chocolate cake. And the same thing is true what God is doing in and around our lives. If God is doing something around us and we keep trying to take credit for what God is doing, we're never going to look at what God wants to do through that and how God wants to use that through us, because we're so busy taking credit for it. We can't do that. We can't be people who take credit for what God is doing. So it's absolutely essential that we understand that God's throughness is God preparing the soil. Here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to look at the things that you've brought with you today. And I want you to ask yourself, what thing that you have with you right now could symbolize your time? What item that you brought with you today could symbolize your time? For me, I'd probably use my watch, something that would symbolize my time. So look at the items that you brought with you, and what could symbolize your time? Second thing, what could symbolize your treasure? What item do you have with you that could symbolize your treasure? Maybe your wallet, checkbook, credit card, something like that. Think about an item that you have with you that could symbolize that. Third, what item could symbolize your talents? What item that you have with you could symbolize your talents? I'm going to use my Bible just because I like to teach God's word, so that's what I would use. But well, something for you. Pick something for you. Something that you have with you right now that would symbolize your time or your treasure or your talents. And what I'm trying to do with this is I'm trying to get you to start thinking, okay, we're starting to talk about this. We're starting to talk about how God works. But we need to talk about how does that apply to me. So I want you to look at your own life. Pick an item. Pick three items that you have with you that would work for that. First off, God's throughness is God prepares the soil. And then God's throughness is God provides the seed. And if you haven't seen this before, this is going to blow you away. Look with me at verse 11. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." Then God said, once we see that, then God said, we know that's our preempt. We know God's about to do something. And what is he about to do? Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation. The word sprout means just to pop up or to sprout off from a branch. It's an agricultural term. And to really think about this, if you think about maybe those time-lapse images or videos that you've seen, you might have seen some on where they take a picture every day for 30 or 40 days or whatever it is, and at first all you see is the ground, and then you see the little bud, you know, pop up, and then it grows and it grows and grows, so it's a full plant. Well, take that image and speed it up really fast. And that's what's happening here. It's sprouting up. But not only is it sprouting up, one thing, that is happening all over the land, all over the planet instantly. If you were looking from the heavens and you look down at the earth, it'd be all brown and then whoop, it's green. That's what God did. He caused it to sprout up. Now here's the interesting part. Every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. The vegetation and the trees that sprout up, they have seeds in them already. And if you're watching that video and you see those things sprouting up, they're sprouting up, but they're sprouting up with seeds. And that's an important distinction to make. The apple tree that sprouts up, it sprouts up, and it doesn't just sprout up with leaves, it sprouts up with leaves and apples. And why that's important is God is implying that God works through things. Verse goes on to say this. These seeds will then produce the kind of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. Just the fact that God created the vegetation and the trees with seeds implies God's throughness. God works throughness. It's an idea that's pregnant because this is how he created. If I bring this chocolate cake over to your house and I bring you a whole chocolate cake, the idea is, the implication is that I'm kind of expecting you to share it because it's so much more than what just you can eat. And that's kind of what's going on here. As these things are popping up, they're popping up with seeds. The seeds don't benefit them. It's for their production. If I wanted to bring you a piece of chocolate cake just for you, I would have brought you a piece. But because I brought you the whole cake, there's the implication that it's more than what you can handle and you should give it to others. And that's how God does things with us. When God gives us more than we need, the implication is it's not just for you, it's through you. As we've talked about these three items that you've got, these three items that you've selected, here's what I want to challenge you to do, and I want to challenge you to look at those three items and say, which of those three symbolic items best represents the thing in my life that I have trouble understanding as through me instead of for me? As you look at the time and as you look at your treasures and you look at your talents, which of those three things are you most apt to think is for you and not through you? Which of those things do you struggle to think God is using for other people and not for myself? And as you think of those three items, I want you to pick one. Which one do you struggle with the most? Which one is it hard for you to see that God wants you to use, wants to use it through you? Because you're so apt to think, I like using it for me. Like the illustration of a, if you think about the time, if you think about your time, you have 8 hours to sleep and 8 hours to work. And what are you doing with the other 8 hours? It's my time. Okay? Time might be a struggle for you. Think about those three things. Which of those three are you most, is it most difficult for you to think of as through you? So God's throughness is God prepares the soil. God's throughness is God provides the seed. And number three, God's throughness is God produces the sequel. Look with me at verse 12. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. The land the land that God had just formed produced vegetation, the vegetation that he had just caused to sprout up. All sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind. This is where God's sequel comes in. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. The idea of sequel here, of producing something after its kind, makes a lot of sense to us. It makes sense to us because it's harmonious with how God works. It makes sense that God would produce after the same kind. Refrigerated cake doesn't last very long. If we understand that the things that God has provided us are for us, and we eat some of that cake, and then we put it in the fridge, we might eat a piece the next day or the day after. But over time, the cake starts to get crusty and not very good. Eventually, most cases, we end up throwing part of it away. It's just not worth eating. But if we share the cake, that can last for eternity. We take this cake and we distribute it to our friends and our family members, and they get a bite of it and they're like, man, this is wonderful. You made me a piece of cake. This is so great. You know what? I have some of the same stuff in my cupboard. I'm going to make some of that cake and I'm going to distribute to my friends and family. And that can keep going on and on. If we understand the things that God gives us as for us, we end up putting it in the fridge. It doesn't last very long. If we understand that the things that God does around us and through as through us, that can last for eternity. So as we've talked about these three items and you've narrowed it down to one of these items, I'm going to challenge you what to do with that item is to give it back to God. You've had this cake in your fridge for a while. You've been holding on to this, and I'm going to challenge you to give it back to God. If you've considered your time as something that is yours, it's for you, and you've not considered it through you, I'm going to challenge you to give that back to God. If you've understood your treasure to be for you and not through you, I'm going to challenge you to give that back to God. And if you've understood your talents not to be for you or to be for you but not through you, I'm going to challenge you to give that back to God. This was the item that I struggled with the most was the talent. And this was the item that I had to, this morning the Lord was tapping me on the shoulder and he said, you need to understand that what the content is not for you, it's through you. The content that you're going to preach this morning is not for you, it's through you. And I was focusing on the content being for me and how producing the content would help me. And I wasn't thinking about how producing the content would work through me. So this morning we've talked about what is throughness. What is throughness? And throughness is, God's throughness is God prepares the soil. It's his work. It's not something we can take credit for. God provides the seed. And God produces the sequel. So give him back the cake. And what I've tried to present to you this morning is that the cake was never for us. Our time, our treasures, and our talent was never for us. God always intended from the very beginning that that would be used through us. If God wanted to give us a piece of cake, he would have given it to us, but he didn't. He gave us more than we need so we would share it with the people around us. So I've challenged you to look over your life and to come up with three items that would make you think about, that would symbolize to you one of those three areas. And I choose you, ask you to pick one of those. Pick one of those that best represents the area that you struggle with the most to say, this is not for me, this is to go through me. And what I want to challenge you to give that back to God. For each of us, there's a reality that for each of us that we struggle. It's easier for some of those things, it's easier for us to do than others. But for some of us, some of those areas are hard for us to see God working through us because we're so used to using that for us. I invite you, if you would, to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we do just thank you for this morning, and thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, we do just want to offer before you our own selves and the reality that at many times we often consider the things that you give to us as for us and not to be used through us. And I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to be willing to part with those things that you have given to go through us instead of to be for us. We do pray all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. If you have your communion cup, I'm going to ask you to get that out. I need to go down here and grab mine. Ooh. And I know I did tell you I was going to give you an opportunity to physically respond to the message this morning, but I ran out of time. Sorry about that. My bad. You take the top part and take off the bread. Just need to tell you that this is something when this is done in remembrance. This is not, this is something we do to remember what Christ did for us on the cross. It is, it's called the Lord's table. That means it's something for any believer. You don't have to necessarily be a member of this church or anything to partake of this. This is an opportunity for those who are believers to remember what Christ did on the cross for them. And if you are here this morning and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's It's hard to remember something that didn't happen, so just ask you to wait on this and don't partake of communion if you're not a believer. But if you are a believer, this is an opportunity for us to remember what Christ did for us on the cross. And 1 Corinthians tells us that on the night when Jesus betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Dearly Father, we do just thank you for the opportunity to remember what you've done for us on the cross. We thank you for the opportunity to be reminded of how you have shed your blood and allowed your body to be crucified for our sins. We love you and we pray all this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
I invite you to stand, and if you're comfortable, grab the hymnal. We're singing hymn number 669, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Now for the closing benediction. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Have a good week. See you next week.